What's up, everyone? It's NFL Week 2, and this is the game plan where we take a look at all the DFS and betting angles for the Week 2 main slate of games. With me, as always, on the game plan, Sharp App Leader, John Statsational Alessia, also the number 10 ranked DFS player in the world. John, how's that number 10 ranking? And when are you getting to number 1?
Got to do a little bit better in NFL to get there, that's for sure.
Step up your game, bro.
Yeah.
Step it up. Step it up. I want to see number 1. Number 10, though. Pretty good. So how'd you think overall? How'd you do overall in NFL Week 1? And what are some of your takeaways from the slate?
Yeah, not a good week at all for me. Takeaways was, I think, just scoring was down quite a bit fantasy-wise. We only had one stack. I mean, you basically had to have one stack in
there was the second one. GPP. There were two.
It was only one that was winning it for you. Well, two with the same. I mean, you had the Purdy Ayuk stack was the second best stack, and obviously Tua Hill was the number one stack, but they weren't even close. It was like a 26-point gap between Tua Hill to Ayuk and Purdy. So no one really was playing Ayuk Purdy.
You needed Ayuk and Hill in the lineup regardless.
Yes.
I did see Richardson to Pittman as a viable stack that was winning a lot of tournaments as well. So there was kind of a third one, but you know what was interesting was the lack of the double stack once again. Not working.
It hasn't worked. I mean, at this point, yeah, I was late to the game. I think Burns was late to it too. I watched you guys on a couple of shows, and I think I think he said he was kind of late to that as well. If I'm misquoting him, I apologize. But yeah, I mean, because it was working so well for the last few years, and now it's been 2 years now where that just is not the case. So it's just QB one and the comeback, and that's about it.
And even the comeback, I think, is not necessary. For the most part, one of my theories on the Millie Maker, and we'll get to the breakdowns for this week. Not everything is a Millie Maker entry, either we play tournaments, but one of my theories in the largest contest is the more some of that correlation is actually because so many lineups are being put in and the advancement of projection models and all of those and of the optimizer, like the domination station we have at DFS Army. And one of the biggest takeaways for me is like people are actually just hitting the perfect players for the most part. And when you have an extra constraint, like force me to bring a player back from a team that I might not be on that player, I might not love, you know, a player from, for example, the Chargers when I'm stacking up Tua, right? I might not love it, or it doesn't fit that well, or you can't afford Tua and Waddle and Hill and Eckler all in the same lineup, right? Like, so when you force it, I think it adds a constraint that in the Millie Maker or in these 300,000-500,000 lineup tournaments, it hurts it. Where I did notice in my back testing for this past week that, like, if you look at the smaller contest, the difference between the score was significant. Like a 204 was a DraftKings winning score, for example, in the smaller contest. And then even in the 190s, in some of the like 500-800 entry type contests where the Millie Maker was like a 220. It was 10% higher. It's a significantly higher score. So you got to hit a little more perfect, but yeah, it'll be interesting to watch as the year progresses. But yeah, QB plus one definitely was the thing. We saw a couple of rusty quarterbacks week one. We'll have to see what happens with those guys at Burrow, what's going on there. You know, we saw Daniel Jones look terrible in that game. I think there are some questions whether like Packers defense is great or field sucks, for example. I don't know. I'm leaning the latter. But yeah, we'll find out, right?
There's a lot of them. I mean, you know, so we'll see. And Mac Jones looked good as far as fantasy goes, right? I didn't watch the game.
Mac Jones could have been the nuts QB also, by the way. You didn't mention him because no one played him. Yeah, no one played him. But like Mac Jones to Kendrick Bourne was actually a pretty nuts stack as well. So no one played that. Weird stacks, but we do have a game this week that stands out above all others. There is a smash spot. There's a second spot this week that looks like a half a smash spot, but it's the same spot that absolutely crushed in the biggest game stack of the year in 2022. So we'll see. right? We got a couple of really exciting games and then a lot of really low totals as well. I think we're going to be able to eliminate teams. I think we're going to be able to focus in on some spots and really crush it in NFL week two. One last strategic thought. And week two is an interesting week because we only have 1 week to go off of. And a lot of people say, hey, what happened last week will happen again, right? Like, do we believe it? And then other people will tout like, oh, only donkeys think that what happened week one is going to happen. It's going to chase the results. Where do you fall in that mix?
I think both are correct, but it's more if you had an opinion coming into the season about a team, right? So Minnesota, I was very bearish on coming into the season. Seattle, I was bearish on. Selling, I gave on the Sharp app some future plays, both of which I had unders on their win total, right? So when they come out and they show what you anticipated, then I think you need to keep sticking to that narrative. Like that, you that's what you thought was going to happen. It's panning out. It's only one game. Yes. In other, you know, the Chiefs, they come out and obviously no Kelsey. You say, listen, I'm not gonna go nuts here on the Chiefs. I'm not gonna go crazy on Buffalo. They played a really good defense last night, right? I'm gonna need to see a little bit more before I say Josh Allen can't play quarterback anymore, and Josh Allen isn't going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Like there's some of these where you just kind of have to, you kind of have to dismiss it a little bit. And the ones that you anticipated maybe hold a little bit more weight.
Okay. That's fair. That's a fair thought. And we'll get into the specifics of each team, right off the bat. And the first game that we're going to talk about here exemplifies this with the Ravens at the Bengals. The Ravens are, actually 3.5-point road underdogs in this spot. In a game with a 46.5-point total, and this one's really interesting because, number one, we saw Burrow look absolutely terrible in week one, right? So can he turn it around? Was that a fluke? Is he still hurt? I don't know, right? Flip side, on the Ravens, they didn't need much out of Lamar Jackson to get a pretty easy win in week one, so we got the terrible score. Listen,
Was it easy?
Well, you know, there were moments, but I think Houston defense might not be as horrific, you know, as their offense probably is. But I mean, yeah, they in the end of the day, let me put it like this. The game, they didn't press the issue. It's a blowout win. And this is what I talked about before week one, which is Lamar. Do not expect big games from Lamar Jackson in blowout wins. That is just not what the Ravens do. I thought maybe the Monken offense would change it. But outside of that, I expected a poor showing from Lamar Jackson week one. I thought it was stupid that he was the most expensive QB, and that's what we got. But there were a couple of interesting – but Burrow, I don't know. This game has potential to be the game of the week if Burrow wakes up and becomes good, and if Lamar Jackson needs to do more than he did in week one, this could be the smash spot. I like it for DFS. I have to say, Zay Flowers – I think is the real deal. I said it before the season. You know how you said you had to take preseason, and then when it happens, you got to believe in that take? My take in the preseason was Zay Flowers is the number one wide receiver, ahead of Rashad Bateman, ahead of everybody. He's going to be the man, and it looked like it last week, so I'm about it. As far as the running game goes for the Ravens, losing J.K. Dobbins, by the way, a career ender for J.K., so we feel bad for the kid, unfortunately, but I don't think we'll see him again in the NFL, sad to say, or not as a starter in the NFL again, unfortunately. But I don't know if I want to mess with these Ravens running backs all that much. I think Justice Hill is probably the better of them, but not sure. Melvin Gordon's on that team too. A lot of people don't even know he's on the practice squad. It could be Melvin Gordon. That's a dangerous situation. And if you're seeing this before waivers, I don't necessarily think you should spend all your fob on Justice Hill this week. I just don't. I'm not doing it, John. And on the flip side, On the Bengals side, I think you go right back to Ja'Marr Chase after a bad week. I'm going to go right back to it. I think you load up on this game. I am definitely nervous, though, about Joe Burrow. How do you feel about this one?
I'd be worried about Burrow as well. I was not high on Cincinnati. I liked Cleveland, actually, to come out of that division this year. And so we'll see. Good start for me there, obviously, winning the head-to-head matchup. But when you talk about Lamar, I'd be concerned here with the running. Yes, Lamar's had some big games with his arm. I get it. But his price is not going to warrant his arm talent, his price is encompassing the fact that he's going to run for a bunch of yards, maybe punch one in, running the ball. That's where I want to really start taking a look. Do they ease up on him running with the ball because they need to preserve him? We talk about it a million times. These quarterbacks who run, eventually they have to stop with running, the run being the predominant part of their game, because they can only last so long. Running backs in this league at 28 years old are old. And if you're going to turn your quarterback into a running back, not a good idea for longevity in the league. So I would be careful with these running, with these quarterbacks who get a bulk of their or a good chunk of their points via the run. After they've got 5 or 6 years in the league, you're going to start to see them diminish from a fantasy standpoint. Still may be a good quarterback and be able to lead them deep in the playoffs. But from a number standpoint, you're going to see those numbers drop off, and it's going to take time maybe for the for the prices to catch up. So I'm not high on either of the quarterbacks here in this game. I think Burrow, listen, he's going to bounce back. He's not going to get whatever he scored, 3-4 points or whatever he had last week. Tough weather conditions, pretty good Cleveland defense. I still think Cleveland's got the best personnel in that division. That's why I like them. Certainly have the best offensive line probably in football. And if Watson gives you anything there, I think they're going to be tough to beat. But Cincinnati will come back. That's not the worst that, you know, that what you saw there was probably the worst that they'll be. But, you know, and Chase is Chase. We'll see how the weather is there. Better weather, they'll put some points up this week. I'm not as, you know, they're still going to be viable play, I think. I think for stacks, you know, when we look about point total, right? Burns talked about it in his book. I did buy Burns' book. Excellent.
Nice.
And he talks about the point totals where you want to look at team totals and game totals. And Cincinnati's going to fall into that here. They'll have a high enough team total on this game where you're going to want to look, you're going to want to look at them. It's not going to be the most optimal. We'll get to a few games that look better, but I don't think you could totally dismiss Burrow here this week.
Yeah, that's fair. I think this is a game for me that I'll have in my tournament mix. I think it has that potential to explode, even though it doesn't jump off the page to me as something that I think definitely will happen, because we just don't know about Burrow. I didn't see any issues though with the way Lamar played, other than it just didn't score well for DFS purposes and for fantasy purposes, right? As far as betting angles for this one, Bengals are 3.5 point. I like the Ravens here. I don't really get it. I didn't see anything out of the Bengals that tells me they should be favored at home.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to lean one side or the other, I'm going to take Baltimore. I don't love the game, from the betting standpoint, but so whenever I'm in that situation, sure, I'll take it. I quite honestly, I think Baltimore should be closer to a pick'em in this game. Maybe I think they're better than Cincinnati. So I think this game is probably a little high. I just right now I don't love the game, and I'm going to look. I'll be capping it as the week goes on, but nothing for me yet. But my lean would be on the Baltimore side.
All right. Next up, we've got the Bears at the Bucks. You know, Bears are 3-point road underdogs in this spot. Man, you know, Justin Fields, I had a lot of high hopes for him coming into the season, taking the next step, having some chemistry with DJ Moore, and boy, did he not. I don't know if that was the Packers defense just having his number, being good, or if Fields just is terrible, but like they owned this guy, and it was not fun to look at. I also think Fields, like young, inexperienced, maybe it will take him a few weeks to get back at least to where he was last year, but this was way worse of a version of Fields than we saw towards the end of last season. It has me legitimately concerned about the entire Bears offense, just inefficient and gross. On the Bucs side, they did what they needed to do. I had a bet on the Bucs this weekend that I had given out on the Wise Guys show. It was a no sweater. I mean, we were getting 7. I thought it was one of the easiest bets of the entire weekend. And now they're home, 3-point favorites. I have to say, you know, Baker Mayfield, not an exciting QB, but did fine. Evans and Godwin, okay, whatever. You know, that's the guys. I was a little disappointed in the production from Rashad White. He got the volume. I think Rashad White is just big here. He got the volume last week, didn't do anything with it. Now you get the Bears, who are horrible against the specifically bad versus the run. So can I go back to Rashad White? I think yes. He's cheaper, and I think go back to it, but it's a little scary. It feels a lot scarier to pull the trigger after he failed us in week 1. As far as the Bears go, I'm not touching that backfield. There were way too many names involved in the running game for the Bears last week. I'm not into it. I think DJ Moore, though, is once again at least a viable play, and it's going to be difficult to pull that trigger on Justin Fields this week for me. What do you say, John?
I agree. Just looking at the price, they had him at a pretty high price, and he's still up there, you know, 7,600 this week. I just think it's too much. I mean, I heard something yesterday on the radio about how you can't, if you knock Fields' quarterback throwing ability, it says something that's obvious about you, which you know what the implication is, which I find absolutely disgusting.
What does it mean? What does it say about you?
Oh, it means that there's only one reason you would think Fields isn't a good quarterback. And that's because of his skin color.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was said on SiriusXM when I got in the car yesterday. That was said. It's the host specifically said, you know, there's regions of the country where you are going to make a statement like that because you don't like a player like Fields. And I don't have to say exactly why you don't like him as a player. Meanwhile, I'm like, I don't know. When Tim Tebow was playing, I was pretty critical of the fact that he couldn't throw the ball.
I can't believe they let anybody on the radio.
I said, so now that's one player that I'm no longer allowed to publicly criticize his ability. Fantastic talent, but until he shows that he can actually throw the ball accurately, then I think it's fair criticism. I mean, if you look at any metrics from a passing standpoint, he's not good. You know, his value has just been in running the ball. So
he was good. He was good in the second part of the season last year.
It was big. Yeah, better, but not good.
Not great. The host thing, you just threw me off for a loop, because isn't Pat Mahomes in the NFL? Like, I don't know what the hell that moron is talking about.
Well, exactly. I'm like,
I don't know what that.
You just watch the games. There's certainly quarterbacks. I mean, in this day and age, 2023, yeah, are there a handful of people out there who still have antiquated views?
Of course, there are people out there who have.
But to say that an analyst or someone who calls your show, the only reason that they could criticize Fields, I mean, we're not talking about Lamar. Like, all right, you want to nitpick like Lamar's? Lamar's a pretty, you know, he's established himself as a pretty good quarterback, right? So if you say that, I would still argue with you and say, well, am I not allowed to criticize Lamar either? But Fields has done nothing in his career as far as throwing the ball. He's had some great games running the ball. This is it's the most disgusting take. It's disgusting on both sides. If you have the point of view, if that is your point of view, that like, well, this guy sucks because of that reason, well, you're disgusting. But if you have the other extreme view that I'm not allowed to criticize him because that means you are this, well, that's also really disgusting. And it's I just wanted to get that out there, because it's been driving me nuts since yesterday when I heard it on the radio.
I don't know who the donkey is who was saying this.
It's one of these shows on Sirius in the afternoon. But.
So, and let's get back to this guy. Listen, I was very excited about DJ Moore coming into the year. I'm still excited about it. I'm not giving up on it. And Fields gave you all the running that you wanted last week. The issue was, it was a bad game. He was off. The Packers just owned them. I think he got sacked 7 times in that game. The offensive line looked terrible. He was slow to release the football. There were issues there that could have been game one type issues that I think will lessen with each consecutive week. It's not a Zach Wilson will never get better situation. This is a Justin Fields. We've seen him sort of loosen up a little bit. Jaire Alexander on DJ Moore last week, it was a tough matchup. I'm giving him another week. I think you do play Justin Fields in your DFS lineups this week. It's not my cash play, but you got 9 rushing attempts. You got what you wanted. You want to see 9 or 10 rushing attempts from your quarterback. You got your 60 yards. That will be 100 yards in other games. So I'm going right back to Field. His upside is 35 to 40 points. He has a higher ceiling than almost every other quarterback not named Mahomes or Josh Allen on this slate. So for me, I'm back on it. I think he'll be even lower on this week. And you know, it's not the greatest of situations, but I'm going right back to it. Fuck that. As far as the betting angles though, John, do you have any thoughts here in terms of, you know, just the Bucs being favored by 3? I don't know what to do with this one. This is a neutral game for me.
And
it's 41.5 seems a little low, but who knows?
I'm pretty neutral. It does seem like a low total, which I was going to bring up as far as the, from a fantasy perspective. Again, when we look, we're generally looking for the higher totals when it comes to a quarterback, but I think Fields is a unique situation because he can be the entire offense for them. So he could have weeks where he is, you know, they don't really score all that. They might score 21 points. It could be all him, right? So he could get a lot of those points. So he is a unique player in that regard. So yeah, I would not rule out playing Fields in GPPs, but from a betting standpoint, I don't love the game. I mean, I could see this game, I could see somehow this game being some scoring. Both teams get up in the mid 20s on this game, and you could see this just being an ugly game. I would lean more towards the over, though. I think we will see more points scored than this line indicates.
I agree. All right, next up we've got the Packers at the Falcons. In a game where the Packers are road 1.5-point favorites with a super low 40.5 game total right now, John. And a couple things we saw last week. Hey, Jordan Love was almost the nuts QB. He had a really good performance against the Bears. And I have a feeling that will be much more like target the Bears defense than it will be let's play the Packers offense as a thing. I just think we learned that the Bears defense is really, really bad. As far as the other situation with the Packers, Aaron Jones hurt the hammy last week, and we may get lock button AJ Dillon starting in this spot. So that's going to be a really interesting DFS angle. I think if AJ, Jones is out, did I say the wrong name just before? I can't remember. If Aaron Jones is out, then AJ Dillon should be potentially a lock button core play. On the Falcons side, we learned that they are going to run that football quite a bit. Tyler Allgeier had a smash game. Bijan Robinson did fine as well last week. No one played Tyler Allgeier in DFS, but I think we're going to see more games like that where he doesn't, you know, he gets goal lines and he just scores. And I think he's going to be a decently valuable player on your fantasy team, on your DFS lineups on occasion, but it's going to be a very volatile. So 40.5-point total, though, I don't really like to touch anything else from a game like this. Do you have any angles outside of those two running backs? Are you going anywhere in this game?
No, I agree with you. I mean, you look, Atlanta last year, terrible. Well, they were subpar against the running back, but Green Bay was also really bad against running backs. So I think this will be a game that's kind of dictated on the ground. Green Bay was pretty good against quarterbacks. I don't think Atlanta has any desire to throw the ball. Did you watch any of that game? Robinson looked, I thought he looked really good.
Loved it. I watched all the tape of every game.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a talent. So they're gonna lean on him quite a bit. So that would be my only. I'm looking at the running backs here. Drake London, I mean, was nowhere to be found. I mean, that
one target. They just didn't throw. They didn't throw. They threw to Bijan.
Yeah. He looked great, but I mean, man, I took Drake London in a season long, and I'm like, ugh, the guy high target percentage last year.
That'll come back. Drake London will be fine. It's just that he'll be fine, but don't expect big things out of Drake London. They just don't throw to the wide receiver.
Quarterback's not good enough, and you know, with these point totals, again, we don't really want to target much in the way of passing in this game. But yeah, from a betting standpoint, don't love it. 40.5 on the total, between 1 and 2 on the line. You can get +2 on Atlanta. It's kind of ballpark of where I see this game as well. So I've got a few games I like this week. This isn't one of it. We've seen if we got any money on the Sharp app where it's coming in. I mean, it's kind of split on the tickets, but 2-1 coming in on Atlanta. If that means anything to me now,
I think
it's early.
Yeah, but Atlanta getting a point. I think Atlanta should be favored. So like, to me, they're at home. They're similar teams. Atlanta is going to run the football down their throat. Atlanta should probably be favored in this spot.
The over's getting hammered. That's where all the money's coming in, on the over right now.
That's interesting. All right, next up, we've got the Colts at the Texans. Anthony Richardson looking better in week 1 than I'm taking a mea culpa on Anthony Richardson. I did not think he would look particularly good or even NFL ready. And I'm not going to say he looked amazing, but he was certainly competent quarterback in the Colts in week 1. They're 1.5-point road favorites. Heading out to Houston to take on the Texans. This game has a horrific 40-point total. And a couple of things we saw last week was, hey, the Texans defense, again, they held up for a little bit before the Baltimore kind of ran away with it. As far as the Colts went, Richardson looked fine out there. He had a nice connection with Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman might be in play this week. Like, Michael Pittman may be playable here. I think he got 10 targets in that game. Six. Let me get it right. You know, sometimes I say things out of memory. Let's see if I'm right. 11 targets, 8 receptions, even better than I thought. So 23 fantasy point. This is a great performance, and I think we're going to see this regularly from Pittman. Now, will Richardson be able to get him the ball? I don't know, but I think normally I don't want to play anybody from a 40.5 point total. Once again, this is exactly like a lot of other spots. Houston defense in play for me from a DFS perspective. Richardson, sure, why not? Although at 6,300, less exciting of a play than he was last week when he was a little bit cheaper. Pittman in play on that side. And the Houston side for me, Houston defense. And that's it.
Well, it was interesting last year how poorly Houston and the Colts, but specifically Houston, was against running backs. So we'll see how that pans out this year. We've only got one game under our belts, but Houston was awful. And I know because they were down in a lot of games and teams run on them, but it is what it is. They actually did well against quarterbacks and wide receivers for that reason, because teams were typically down and then kind of called the dogs off. But yeah, I agree with you on Richardson. I was impressed. I liked watching him. For his first game, I think there's going to be good thing. I was kind of kicking myself for not taking him in any of my keeper leagues, because I think
yeah
I didn't have many keepers, because I think he's going to be one of those. I look for those guys. You know, you want, nowadays you're looking for the guy who can run the ball and throw, and you know, if they give you anything respectable on the throwing side, these guys who can run, fantasy gold. I mean, it's you know, we just talked about it with Fields, but I think if you look at what I saw from Fields last year or 2 years ago and what I saw with Rich, it's like night and day. I mean,
Richardson looked way better and way more poised than Fields looked in his first year, and probably than Fields looked yesterday.
Yes,
or the other day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, but again, you got to be careful here. It could be a new era, though. I mean, we're looking at these low totals, and when you've got these different type of quarterbacks who can score, run, you know, it's almost like having a running back who gives you a few extra points throwing it. So we may be seeing the trend shift in how these big GPPs go down. The more quarterbacks like this we see, you may see a low total where the quarterback is optimal. Same situation where he becomes the bulk of the offense. It's certainly a possibility, but I do agree with you. He might be getting a little rapport going with Pittman. So I like this combination a whole lot better. I've got more confidence in Richardson right now doing big things than I do with Fields. But again, you gotta be careful right now just with the total. Where's his, I didn't look at his price yet.
He's 6,300 on DraftKings. So
they increased, right? Because he was what, like 5,600 last
56.
Week?
56. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a price increase, and it's not, you know, it's not the top price point, but I mean, he's right there with Trevor Lawrence. He's there with good quarterbacks, I would say. But if, yeah, you know, he's just above Daniel Jones and Goff and Geno, but below the, of course, below the super stud zone with Mahomes and
GPP plays. I mean, there's definitely upside there.
Yeah, he's got to be in the mix.
You know, he could start. He could. You know, vulture two touchdowns. And
John, we're coming up on the core play, the core game of the week. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the sponsor of our video this week, Mojo Fantasy. Mojo Fantasy is a really cool game. It basically turns sportsbook into daily fantasy. Mojo is a sportsbook in New Jersey, and the game they came up with is effectively a DFS version of playing on the sportsbook. Basically, the props are like stocks, and you can buy and sell them live all game long. This is really the only fantasy app that allows you to do this, where after you make a play, you can get in or out. So effectively, you're just trading props with live odds. And if your player has a hot start, you can cash in. You could effectively sell that off by a different player. And the way their game works is you just pick a bunch of plays, a bunch of props, against the spread, ideally use the Sharp App Proptimizer. Well, what? Shout out to you, John, on that one. But ideally use the Sharp App Proptimizer to pick your props. And in game, as the players are doing well, you can they have a price that's moving. You can buy in, buy out. So it gives you a little in-game action. And at the end of the action, it's either a double up or a tournament style. In their tournament style, it's called In the Green. I really like it because if you're up money at all, you're getting a piece of the prize pool. It's a DFS payout. The more you're up, the more of the prize pool you get. And in the double ups, you just have to beat half the field and you will double your money. So effectively, think about a DFS style tournament, but with the backbone playing props on a sports book, and a particularly cool sports book that allows you constant you have constant liquidity to get in and out. It's not like the buyout that they give you on a regular sports book. There's an actual stock market style trade that's happening where you can get in or out, and there's a market to buy or sell. So it is really, really cool. You could buy a player mid game that you think is going to keep smashing and, you know, effectively play it like that. So check out Mojo Fantasy. Promo code DFS Army gets you a deposit match over there. All right, let's talk about the core game of the week, John. One that stands out above all others. We got the Chiefs heading out to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. 51-point total. Chiefs, 3-point road favorites. This is the one, John. This is the one. Now, I think Kelce will be back probably for the Chiefs, but I don't know. You know, it's early in the week. Don't know about that. I will tell you that Trevor Sunshine Lawrence looked fantastic in week one, midseason form. The connection with him and Calvin Ridley was spectacular. I love it. We learned some things in week one about this Jaguars team. We learned that Christian Kirk is playing the slot and he is the loser in the Calvin Ridley joins the team sweepstakes. He was on the field the least. Zay Jones out there, more snaps than Christian Kirk. Good to know. Evan Ingram played his usual role. I think got 5 or 6 targets in the game last week. And of course, Travis Etienne, bulk of the workload, which was something I was excited to see. But more importantly, what I saw with Travis Etienne was 5 for 5 on targets and receptions. Finally, the first time maybe in his career that he caught more than 3 passes in a game. That's what I've been waiting for Travis Etienne. Elevate him. We're about to elevate him, maybe elevate him into the elite tier of running backs. On the flip side with the Chiefs, for DFS purposes, we learned that, man, it is scary to play any of those wide receivers. And even the Chiefs having a good game doesn't mean any one of them will have it, or all or any of them. Sky Moore, terrible. Kadarius Toney, Kadropius Toney. Toney has dropped it again. It feels bad. Yeah. Oh, I got more if you want them, John.
I know you do.
I got him at the ready.
Yeah.
It was bad. It felt bad. Toney. All right, I'll stop. I don't really know what's going on with the Chiefs and how to stack Mahomes. How are you stacking Mahomes?
It's basically just Kelce. So, I mean, you just can't, it's been that way for a long time though. I mean,
last year, everybody had a game. Toney had a game. Right. Juju had a game.
So, yeah, I mean, you just feel better when Kelce's in there. Kelce's going to get the bulk of the work. My buddy, Blake Bell, told you I was hanging out with him in San Diego, got himself a touchdown last week.
Found his way into the nuts, jiggling him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, from a betting standpoint, Jacksonville, actually, on the Sharp report, we saw Jacksonville catching Sharp money in this game at the +3. And the public is taking Kansas City. Very rare that the public gets a good number, but the public's got it at 2.5. And, of course, the Sharps always seem to get the best price. They got it at +3. So, the public coming in at Kansas City -2.5 right now. So, the public's going to kind of dismiss that Thursday night game. Jacksonville, you know, they looked okay as far as, like, you know, that game goes, because that game was going into the fourth quarter. Wasn't necessarily
the Colts.
That game was in doubt.
The Colts always play the Jaguars tough. Richardson comes out, plays a little better than you were expecting. But yeah, maybe that was just the Jaguars not being that great. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that's the public's perception right now, and which is why they're going to come in Kansas City as a bounce back. They get the 10 days of rest. So that's what we're seeing right now. But no money for me on this game as of yet. Haven't touched it. 51.5. You kind of, or 51 or 51.5, depends on which side you want to take. I kind of like the over a little bit in this game. I got a feeling you like the over on it as well.
Yeah, I definitely, listen, I think this is the game this week. All right, let's just keep it real. This is the game. This is the game that plays out with a lot of fantasy production. Calvin Ridley's the man. I'm super excited about what he's going to do this year. Zay Jones, I think at his price, is very viable. My first look lineup has Trevor Lawrence at the helm already. And if we could stack up, if you could fit that and get Kelsey in the lineup, you could cover a lot of the angles on a game like this. I love Etienne. I don't mind Pacheco. There are angles galore in this game to target Mahomes. And then you might need to accidentally fall on the Martez Valdez Scantling / Rashee Rice of this game. That, although I don't think I want to dive in there because it's going to be too dice rolly to really pick that person out. But I love this game. I love this game to score well. I think this is absolutely the game to target for DFS. And I'm with the sharps, dude. I think you want to bet the Jacksonville side of it. I don't think I'm going to bet the total. I'm not a big bet over 51 guy. Like, if you have a high total, I'd just rather bet the under or not play it. Just like I don't really take a plus 10 or a minus 10 team and like bet the minus 10. I just don't do it. But as far like, I don't bet overs on a 51 point total. Maybe I'm a donkey. I don't care. I just don't. So it never appeals to me. But as far as this game goes, I think this is the one to stack in DFS, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's the highest total on the board for the slate by like a good margin. So,
and you won't. The funny thing is, India, you won't get it where it's like 40%. That doesn't happen. So, like, it's not like you're going to get Trevor Lawrence at 25% ownership. He's still going to be at 10% ownership. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter if the QB is chalky because it's 10%. Like, no QB is going to go over 10 or 12%.
Well, I mean, it's really the stack, right? That you're looking at that percentage. So it's not just the quarterback percentage. What's the stack percentage? So when you figure out, you know, what's him and Ridley, is it at max?
People are going to be all over that.
Like, even if it's the number one stack, 7 or 8%.
Yeah, it won't be that. It won't be
which
that
is
wild.
Huge. That's a huge stack.
By the way, if you add in a second player, which again, I'm not advocating for because that hasn't really worked. But if you add in a second player to it, now you're going to be down at 1% or sub 1%, even if it's Zay Jones, under 1%. If it's Evan Ingram, it's under 1%. And Christian Kirk, forget it. It'll be like nothing. I like it. Another exciting game. So there's a three-pack of what I think are pretty interesting games here. This one is the Chargers at the Titans. This game carries a 45-point total with the Chargers installed as 3-point road favorites in this one. Do we get the sort of bounce back for the Chargers? They had an incredible offensive output. They got out offensed by Miami Tua last week. Titans, man, I don't know what to make of that team at all right now. They basically ran Tajay Spears out there more than Henry at the running back position. Is Henry even a bell cow anymore? I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's now in a full timeshare at best. Scary play. I'm not touching Derrick Henry. I'm out. I'm out on that. DeAndre Hopkins, not looking that good out there. Brian Tannehill, not looking that good out there. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Titans, but it didn't look good to me. I think you got to play the Chargers here.
Well, I already took Tennessee plus the 3. So I took Tennessee. I wanted to get the 3 because I don't think this line moves. I don't think it's going to go higher. So that's why I wanted to jump in and catch the 3 before I lost it. But I kind of think it's going to linger around the 3. I don't think we're going to see it move one way or the other. I think it kind of stays on that number. So I jumped in. I mean, nothing you said is wrong here. The Chargers, they look offensively, sure, fine. But I think you're going to see Tennessee be able to put some points up on the board. You know, the Proptimizer for the Sharp app had Henry as an underplay on rushing attempts. And that wound up being pretty good. So I was looking at that one. I actually posted it in the Discord as one of the top plays that we were seeing on the Proptimizer, and that panned out. When you're looking at running backs in this league, when they get to a certain age, it's a fast drop off. And whether it's his own production or the fact that the teams are going to just start using younger backs, you know, this league is more, it's more about usage than it is your actual ability. So if teams don't use you, really, really tough to get that, the fantasy point.
People have a hard time grasping this. That your opportunity share is way more important than your actual talent.
In baseball, you're looking for talent, but in football, if you want to try
talent's
to
draft, you know, opportunity.
Yeah, talent's important. Hugely important, but the team that you're on and the situ and the scheme that they play, whatever type of offense they play in, and the opportunity, that's all that really matters. I mean, the worst player, if he's going to get 50% of the targets, is going to just fall into points. So, you know, it's what you think. That's the problem. People analyze, they're like, you know, oh, this guy's a much better running back than the other guy. You know, the Pollard thing, like when they weren't playing Pollard and they kept running Zeke out there. You're like, well, I'm going to play Pollard. Like, well, you're banging your head against the wall. Like, we know Pollard's better, but if they don't play him, who cares? I mean, you know, it just doesn't work. So, you know, so yeah, you got to be really careful, and the prices are going to come down slower than their production will. So you have to be careful with the backs in general. So I'm a little leery on.
I'm out on Derrick Henry. Let me be very clear.
Yeah,
I'm not paying that price for a guy.
You can't.
That is not going to get a pass catch. He needs to score three touchdowns.
He had a nice reception in that game. But yes, he's not a target.
They should throw to him so much more. But yeah, you can't touch him. As far as the Chargers go, by the way, I didn't mention this, and this is really important to the slate. I can't believe I forgot, because it's one of the most important situations on this entire slate, which is that now, so it's interesting on the slate. Let's call it that. So Eckler hurts the hammy. Not sure he's going to play this week. If he's out, Kelly is going to step in as the full-time running back. But here's the thing. The Titans have a very, very good rush defense. They are top five in the league from last year, assuming it's a lot of the same people. They were able to shut down Jamal Williams, for what that's worth, pretty nicely this past week. So, like, Kelly is going to be in play if Eckler's out. Is it good chalk? Is it bad chalk? I don't know. Right. I think he'll certainly be in my mix, but this is not the greatest of matchups for the running back position. But the flip side is the Chargers offense produces very well to their running backs, regardless of the opposing. They're on the goal line a lot because they're good at football and at offense, and the running back just punches it in. So even against a good defense, it does not matter. As a matter of fact, I am going to say, and talking about talent, I don't think that Kelly's talent. The hell's his first name? Josh Kelly. I don't think that Josh Kelly's talent is all that special. Did not, but you know what? He had a great game with Eckler in already, got a ton of volume in that game. Of course, everybody did well. So this could be the smash spot if Eckler is out. Very important on this slate. You got to be on it.
Yeah, no, you're right. They were one of the worst teams against the, well,
they were very good
against the run, but you're going to get a good price here. Yeah, it's probably not as good as what was the who's the other back? That's
no, AJ Dillon's spot is better.
Yeah, that's the better spot.
But I'm taking both. I don't need to choose. I don't choose between my kids. I love them all. I love them all the same.
Especially when you're looking at that Jackson.
You have one that you like hanging out. Wait.
Yes. Yeah. There's one that you do like hanging out with more.
There's one that you like hanging out with a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you love them both. You love them all the same.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You don't want anything bad to happen to either one of them.
No, you love them all. But there is always one that you.
But it's going to give you an opportunity to get that Jacksonville game, the pieces of that game in, if you get some cheaper running backs that you could play.
If my kids saw this, they would never know which one that was. No, that's the most important thing as a parent.
They know.
They can never know. Hell no.
There's one of them saying it's me, and there's another one saying, I know it's not me.
That's bad parenting. If you're good at parenting, that's not how it goes. All right. Seattle at the Lions. Last year, this game fucked. Okay, I don't have another word. Sorry, you to bleep. Bleep. This game fucked last year. It was the game of the year, not of the week, of the year. Can they repeat, John? Last year, if you did not stack double, triple stacks, quadruple stacks, you needed quad stacks a week four. You know how I know? I backtested the whole season. You know that. You needed quadruple stacks. Are we quad stacking this bad boy?
Probably not. I think Geno just, I don't know what happened to Geno last year on the upside, but I think we're going to see the real Geno again this year.
You're saying I was right about Geno last year preseason. It just hadn't played out.
Yeah. I mean, small sample size. I mean, one season is actually a small sample size. It is like small. People forget that, right?
It's very small.
17 games.
CJ Spiller looked like a stud running back for one season with the Bills. And then he was never seen or heard from again.
That's it. I mean, Geno, I'd be very hesitant here to get too excited about Geno doing a whole lot. Now, you know, the total, good total, certainly going to be a good team total from the Detroit side. Decent team total, I guess, 47. What are we looking at? 24, 21.
It's a 47-pointer.
21 on the team total.
I'm going to be like, you do that quick math. It's 26 and no. Let me look at that.
So 23 and a half minus three is 20 and a half.
26 and a quarter, right?
20 and a half and 26 and a half would be the spread.
20 and three quarters and 26 and a quarter is where I have it. So about the same, what you just said.
Right.
It's a massive team total for the Lions, and that seems like the better side. And by the way, okay, you know who sucks against the tight end? Seattle. You know who's got a really good tight end?
Detroit does. Yeah.
LaPorta? Sam LaPorta?
Seattle was terrible against the tight end, terrible against running back last year, and terrible against quarterbacks.
I don't love the running back situation but the wide receiver. Seattle does have an elite cornerback that can slow down your top wide receiver potentially, but like he wasn't on Puka last week. And what I think is that guy operates on the outside and Amon-Ra is going to operate in the slot anyway. So like, I think Amon-Ra is in play here. I think Sam LaPorta, no one's on him. That's going to be in play against Seattle. The running back's a little weird with Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery. I'm going to keep it real. I don't know that that's how I want to deal with this game. Right. Cause it's just a little weird for me. Josh Reynolds, an interesting punt play that I'm excited about again. Bobby Wow gave us Josh Reynolds on the showdown. We crushed it with him. He was in the nuts. And then on the Seattle side, DK Metcalf looks like, I don't know. You know what? Let me ask you this, John. Last year, Metcalf and Lockett, one game, the other game, they were switching off, right? Lockett really does nothing in week one. Metcalf looks like an alpha out there in week one. Jackson Smith and Jigba not doing a whole lot as of yet. All right, let me see what Metcalf did. Yeah. He still actually got the touchdown, but he only got five targets as well. Who the hell were they throwing to in week one? Lockett, only three targets. Metcalf, five targets. Or Lockett got four, but only caught two and had a terrible day. Jackson, looking Smith. He got five targets too. I don't know. I don't know how to deal with that.
I mean, it was terrible all around for, I mean, just because Geno was so bad. Geno scored 9 points. So
basically, Aaron Donald took Geno's soul. Did you see the one play where he's like, oh my God?
I saw that. I don't blame him. But
I need to meme that for something because I just feel like, you know, the geek when he bets the, you know, this and oh my God. And, you know, I've got to come up with a meme for that. That just seems very meme worthy.
That's that'll give you something to do tonight.
I'll have to let my creative juices flow a little bit. I can't just do it on the spot here.
Exactly. Right. But well, let me give you the quick betting. Let me just give a quick look. Seattle. Yeah. So the public's actually on Seattle. on this game, which surprised me a little bit, especially with Detroit coming off that big win, and the public really loves Detroit. But so far, that's where the square money is on Seattle plus the six. Nothing else. Haven't seen any sharp money on the sharp report on this one.
You know, if you enjoy John's betting breakdowns, John is the content director at the Sharp app. And if you're a DFS Army YouTube watcher, subscriber, you can get 20% off. If you want to check out the Sharp app, you download it from the App Store or Google Store. Just go to sharp.app on the website, get access to the Proptimizer, the Sharp Report, which is gold, literally printing cash for bettors for years. But also, I love the prop stuff, not just for my betting, but also my DFS and my fantasy. Knowing all those predictions are really great. So promo code DFSA20 knocks 20% off the monthly dues at Sharp app. Totally worth it. So go check that out and get signed up. Promo code DFSA20 gets you in there. John, so you don't think this game has the pop at 47 total? You think this game has the pop potential for the massive stack? I think if you do it, you might want to build it around Goff, though. So you build you want to take that favorite quarterback at home. So that's a Goff stack. You just hope that basically Montgomery doesn't vulture all of the scores, because he's looming.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer the Goff side of the game. I don't think it's a massive stack game, though. So I'm fine with the comeback, just a QB 1-1. And I don't think you're going to see this as like, I think last year it was like, what was it? QB 2-2, something like that. Hit the,
I was not fucking around. It was a quintuple stack.
And it was early too. It was like the second or third week in the year. I think it was early in the season.
My memory is week 4, but it could have been week 3.
Yeah. It was something like that. It was early in the year. And it was like, Geno was just like people. That's when everyone's like, okay, now Geno's the comeback player of the year.
I still didn't believe it. Yeah. I still hadn't, you know, I was like, Geno sucks. I went into the year, don't draft DK Mega. Not that that hurt me. DK didn't have the best year, but I was like, you can't take DK Metcalf. Geno stinks. But Geno's, I think he's fine. I think he's
he's fine, but you know, he's not what he was in the beginning of last year. So I think that was a little bit of an over, like he's settled into what he is. Totally serviceable quarterback, but he's not the guy who's going to go out there and get you 35 points on, 35 fantasy points every week and just be in the nuts. So I don't see him doing it this week. Also, take with a grain of salt Detroit's performance against Mahomes, because that game is totally different. Tony, the drop pass for the pick six changes the whole complexion of the game. And if he makes any of those plays, really. But it wasn't like anyone else caught the ball. So the receivers here for Seattle are going to be a lot better than they were for Kansas City. So don't, just don't think that Detroit defense has suddenly become some stout defense. Let's see what they do this week. I don't think they're going to shut down Seattle totally, for sure.
There we go. All right. Next up, we've got, I'm going to call this an ugly total game. I'm not going to call it. It is that. It's the Giants and the Cardinals. Cardinals are Giants are 5.5-point road favorites, which is wild, coming off of effectively the worst football game maybe that's ever been played by an offense in the entire history of the National Football League. As a matter of fact, John, I went to my local high school football game, my kids' high school, on Friday night last week, and they lost 46-0. And it might as well have been Daniel Jones and the Giants out there losing 46-0.
That game started with the Giants going in to score, not getting the touchdown, kicking a field goal, and then getting a blocked field goal for it. And then it just snowballed. So, you just kind of come out like, oh boy, Giants look pretty good here, moving the ball down the field. And that was the last positive thing they had in that game. I mean, the Dallas defense is going to, I think they're going to compete with the Jets for the best defense in football all season long. I think just you have to give the nod of, well, certainly right now, to the Dallas offense in the two scenarios, and they're actually playing each other this week. But are the Giants going to be as bad as is Daniel Jones this bad? No, obviously he's going to be a little. He can't get worse. Like you said, they had some ridiculous stat that no one had lost 40-0 with 7-0 in turnovers, and a blocked field goal for a touchdown and a pick six for a touchdown and all that in one season, and they did it all in one game.
Yeah, so they pulled off in a game what in the entire history of the NFL in badness, no team has ever even pulled off in an entire NFL season.
It was amazing. Yeah.
It's actually impressive.
So but, with that,
yeah, different game this week.
So I actually, so typically I love playing the team coming off a game like that. But I'm going to take both of these teams are coming off a loss, and I'm going to take the other team that came off a loss. I know betting Arizona, I'm going to wind up betting Arizona a ton this year. They'll probably be the team that burns me. I did not bet them last week. I guess I should have. I didn't have that game. I think you was that one of your losses last week? You liked Washington last week.
I did like Washington, but I did not lose that bet. That was a win.
Did they? Well, they didn't cover that game, did they? Did they cover that game?
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Well, I needed Washington.
I won like every bet. It was crazy. I've never printed so many except for the Bills game. I think I won every bet.
I was not enjoying that game because I was heavy Washington in survivor pools. So that was not a fun game.
It was scary for the survivors, right?
It was brutal.
Lose it. Yeah. It was a scary survivor.
I got 24 picks in one pool and I tossed them all on Washington. And so that was not fun. But win's a win. We survive it and move on. But yeah, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, there's just, it's disgusting. From a betting perspective though, I'm going to jump on Arizona here. I thought I was going to get a good line because I thought after that game, the game was actually going to open higher and it wound up coming in. I mean, the look ahead line was a little bit higher and then I got 4.5 yesterday on Arizona. I thought it would keep coming down. I said, the way the Giants look, this game might get to 3. It hasn't. So it's bounced back up. So I was wrong on that one. But we'll see. I think this game's not getting to 7 because they'll just get hammered at 7. So this is going to stay in that 4.5 to 6 range. I think just scanning over the sharp report, I don't see anything yet on this game. So we have no sharp money, no square money yet coming in on this game. The total is, I mean, I actually think we could see this game go over. If I had to lean to a side, I think the over. I think they're just a little bit of an overreaction. I mean, the Arizona offense was atrocious as well. They were only in that game because the Washington had turnovers in that game. Otherwise, I think Dobbs might have been the lowest scoring. Was he the lowest scoring quarterback? Like 2 points or something like that last week. So it was pretty brutal.
Dobbs was brutal. Dobbs was actually, if it's even possible, like worse than Daniel Jones. Which I don't even know if that's possible. These guys are this game is gross.
It's a terrible game.
You know, there is some action to be had here though. Giants defense is in play. Cardinals still suck. That hasn't changed. Their offense is going to be shit. But you know what? No one is paying attention to it because we're all thinking about how the Giants offense was terrible. And they were. Giants defense 3,800 on DraftKings is probably not where I'm going.
You're gonna be paying up against Arizona all year. But like I said last week, you couldn't go heavy Washington. I just never go over the market on the chalkiest of defenses, and they weren't the best.
They
defense,
were fine. They weren't the best.
They weren't the best.
No, they weren't the nuts, but they were fine.
No, definitely. But you can't. Yeah. There's going to be another defense, like something like if you're MME, if you're playing MME, like if they happen to be the one, and the 25% owned defense winds up being, then I'm just gonna. Take it in the balls. But other than that, you've got to spread out your defensive risk. I mean, it's silly to be heavy in one defense.
I'll say this. When I've won tournaments in the past, exclusively and almost as a lock button scenario, the defense was the best defense on the slate. And they were a big part of the reason why you won it. Like I had a win, it was a 2% owned Green Bay home game against the Eagles with Mark Sanchez. Like I don't forget these, and they scored.
Yeah, but it was low owned.
Super low owned.
No, I'm talking about the chalky.
No, the chalk defense.
25% defense. That, yeah,
you're right. That's not how you win a giant GPP. The way you win a giant GPP, the defense is the greatest way to get like a 3% owned potential smash, because when they smash, they're usually really low owned, and that gives you one of the bigger edges that you can ever get on the field. So, fading that chalk defense. Again, we haven't gotten to the game of the week from a defense perspective, but it'll be interesting to see where Dallas defense is next week. We'll get to that one, though. Again, going back to this game, Saquon Barkley on the Giants. Yeah, okay, probably not, but all right. I would say on the Cardinals side, you can't play any of the pass catchers on the Giants. Who the hell even knows at this point, even after a week, who they are. I need to look at participation. But last week's game was so weird that it's tough to know. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins will be cheap, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the Arizona was terrible against tight ends and running backs last year. Giants also really bad against tight ends last year. So,
yeah, no, I'm not playing Zacher. I'm not doing that. So, I mean, it's a 40-point total. The best thing to do here is stay away. I mean, it's just the best move is just stay away from shitty game environments. Like, just don't play it. Another shitty game environment. We got the 49ers at the Rams. 49ers are 8.5-point road favorites in this game with a 44.5-point total. Last week, we saw the 49ers kind of really lean heavy on Christian McCaffrey, heavier than they had last season, barely gave any work to Elijah Mitchell. But at the same time, John, in all of my content, including on this show, I said, listen, Christian McCaffrey at 9K will have a wildly difficult time being a tournament winner. We didn't see any instances where an 8-plus K player was in a tournament-winning lineup in 2022. And that continued. Yesterday, he put up 28 fantasy points on DraftKings, or on Sunday, he put up 28 fantasy points on DraftKings. But at 9K, that wasn't even 4X. All he got you was cash game value 3X against his salary, 918.27, right? We needed 36 for 4X, and we needed 45 to keep you on pace for a 250 score, which is what it normally takes to take down a tournament on DraftKings. So these kind of players, just you really should not lean to as good as the floor is. They're not particularly great tournament plays where you just don't tend to win a tournament with that style of player in your lineup. Brandon Ayuk looks like the WR1 that's a little underpriced on this team. I don't think that changes. He went 8 for 8 last week, 8 targets, 8 receptions. You needed him to win. If you didn't have Ayuk in your run, did you have Ayuk in your optimizer run?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Make your run?
Yeah.
He didn't make my run, and therefore I did not win.
Yeah. It didn't look like a good game on paper. I mean, listen, I wasn't heavy on him. I had him in a few it was a shit week on the whole, but yes, I did use him. But
I looked at him with Purdy. He didn't have any sort of special connection / special particularly great, you know, weeks with Purdy at the helm last season. I looked at him. I liked the price, but in the end, I did not get any exposure to Ayuk and you know, didn't win. But this week, Ayuk will be the chalk. He will be super highly owned. And now you got to make a decision. Was last week an anomaly, or will that sort of production continue? The flip side on this game, Puka Nakua, 15 targets in the Cooper Kupp role. Even Tutu Atwell has the good game last week. The only one who sucked was Van Jefferson. But again, he was blanket covered by effectively a really good cornerback whose name escapes me from Seattle. So can you go back to Puka this week, or Puka chalk 4,800? Do you go back? Do you go to that?
I think you can actually against San Francisco. It's the one position where they struggled last year was against the wide receiver. Other than that, they really, I mean, they crush running backs. They're really good against the quarterback. So you could get, it's going to be one. It could be one wide receiver. I think it could be Puka. I took him in one season long league. Of course, I didn't play him because who the hell is going to start him in
your league? But you know what? He was startable if you had an emergency.
If you needed it. Yeah.
Super deep league, not in a normal league.
So, but I'm glad I got him. And, but yeah, from a betting standpoint, though, the over has caught sharp money. So at 44, the sharps came in and took this game over. So that's interesting from a DFS standpoint that we may see some scoring in this game. And the
what did you just say? Tell me that again.
So the sharps took the over 44.
Over 44 and a half.
44. They got this one at 44. So it's right. they pretty much moved it up to 44. I believe FanDuel still has it at 44 minus 110 if I'm looking on the sharp app right now. And you could get 44.5 on the under in some books. And then the square money has come in on the San Francisco side. And on the sharp report, the book right now needs the Rams. So Frisco's catching square money. That's not a surprise there coming off. They look super impressive against Pittsburgh. I really thought Pittsburgh was going to put up a better fight in that game. But I do like, I am bullish San Francisco this year to win that division. I thought minus, I think it was like minus 160 or something like that was, I hate to lay juice. And that's why I said parlay it with Kansas City. We'll see how that goes. But
I was just going to say, I'm teasing this one.
I played it with Kansas City and to win the division. I still like Kansas City to win that division.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Denver and Vegas. It's just a matter of are the Chargers going to be any good? And they already lost week one. So all those teams are down. Kansas City will bounce back. So I feel pretty good about the bet. But, yeah, so the public's on San Francisco. And, San Francisco rolls in this game. They're going to be tough. This is potentially a 14-win team in that division. I don't think they're going to have any problem with any of the teams in that division.
Yeah, 49ers should have no problem rolling in this spot. I don't think you need anything here from a DFS perspective or to get too crazy. Ayuk is interesting. The Rams, I do want to mention that, Akers, a little disappointing in the usage also last week. And, Kyren Williams or whatever got in the game quite a bit. So probably going to go away from that running game until I see better. The 49ers seem like the perfect team to tease as part of your teaser. Just tease that shit. A little tease. Down to 1.5. Just make sure you get that W. Or the monster teaser, get the 13-pointer going and just get some plus points for San Francisco. Lock it in as one spot in your teaser this week. So I like that. But it's from a DFS angle, this is not an exciting game. And the final game on the NFL Week 2 main slate. The Commanders hit the road to Denver to take on the Broncos. The 1-0 Commanders are 3.5-point road underdogs in this one with a disgusting 39-point DFS killing game total. Now, right off the bat, John, the Broncos are more than 3-point favorites. How bad are the Commanders? I don't know. I can't do that.
That's why you needed them in Survivor, because when else are you taking Washington this year? Like, you're not. So no. They needed to get by Arizona last week and gave you that free play because you're not even thinking about taking them the rest of the year. They look terrible. It's just Arizona's just that much worse. But
Broncos defense in play.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, the Broncos defense. But boy, I know it's 1 week and we started the show off by talking about like
overcompensate for week one.
But yeah, you got to be worried about Wilson. Because obviously last year was abysmal. I thought he got better at the end of last year, but my apprehension was he wasn't that great the year before in Seattle either. So that's where I'm like, what's his bounce back is to that, which wasn't great, but I thought easily he could get there. I think their defense was good enough where they were going to win some more games than they did last year. But Wilson, it's troubling right now.
Statistically, he wasn't horrible. There was no interception, threw for 2 touchdowns. Completed 70, almost 80% of the passes. So I'm not going to shit on him that hard for what happened, but only 177 total passing yards on a team that, against the Raiders, what was going wrong there? What went wrong in that game? Why aren't they scoring more? The wide receivers, not that great, I guess, but I mean, that's a bit of an excuse.
I expected more from Sutton. Figuring with the injuries that they had, Mims was like a really good option. You thought
he was supposed to be, but he was a bit
3,000.
He barely played. He did not get the full run.
So it was, that was a disappointing game from a DFS standpoint. Kind of scanning over the bets here, seeing if I see anything in the market. Yeah. Nothing really coming in on this game as far as sharp money goes. If you look at the money's actually coming in on the Denver side, but the ticket, it's one of those where if you look at the handles, at least right now, it's totally flipped. Like the tickets, which typically is the public, they're coming in on Washington. Denver, though, is catching like 86% of the money. So the money's coming in on, and then all the money's coming in on the under, which you kind of figure both offenses look atrocious. Has that total moved since the open? I'm going to scroll through now. Yeah, it opened at 41.5 down to 39.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, there's no way it's this would have, 39 is really low. I'm not betting an under on any 39 point total.
We've got like a handful. You've got like a handful of them. That's the new norm now in the NFL. Like, you know, 5 years ago, if you got one game under 40, like every few weeks, it was a lot. Now you've got five in a week. So it's the new norm. The scoring has gone down in the NFL, which is why you're not getting those massive game stacks to hit. It's just the scoring is not what it was in the NFL. I don't know what the reason is for that, but it's just not what it was a couple of years ago.
I think it's QB play.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, when I do my numbers and historically I always, and then I have to go through and when I do my rankings and everything, and I look at the quarterbacks, I always had to give up. You had to give a bump up for Brady and Manning and Breeze and Mahomes. And the first three guys I mentioned aren't playing anymore. Yeah. It's Mahomes. And like these other guys aren't at Rodgers at one point. There's just, I don't see the other guy like
Russell Wilson was on that.
Russell Wilson was on that list as well.
That's what I'm saying. Like
another guy used to have to bump
up. QB plays just down in the NFL right now. And I think it's just, why that happens. I don't think it's a reason. I just think, great NFL quarterbacks are sort of generational. Some of them don't get discovered in time.
Is it the
move? A bunch of them age out around the same time. And
is it the move now to get quarterbacks who can play in a multifunctional way, meaning these guys who are just more mobile and they're not the typical pocket passer who's going to throw for 400 yards anymore? I mean, maybe that's it. So that's why you're not getting the stack, because you're not getting the guy, if you throw for 350, 400, it's probably not going to just one guy. And now you're just not seeing the 300 yard passing game other than a couple of guys now who have the chance to do that on a weekend. You're seeing these totals, passing yardage totals in the low 200s, if not 180 on some of these guys. When you look at the props, so you're not getting a game stack when you look at that. And by the way, you should be looking at, if you look at the props on the Sharp app, I mean, we've got all, like, it's so easy to filter it. That's a great way to look at the team totals, look at the totals on the game, and then look at the pad, just look at the yardage props. And that's going to give you a good idea of if that's a game you need to be, maybe playing heavily as far as stacks go. And most of these just aren't. I mean, the props will come out probably tomorrow and Thursday. You'll start seeing them creep in.
Technically, a lot of people are watching this on Wednesday. So,
yeah. So when you're watching, just download the app and take a look at player props. Take a look at the quarterback passing yardage props. That's all you really need to look at with the team totals. That's going to tell you a bulk of the information you need as far as stacking.
There we go. I don't see anything from a DFS perspective that excites me about a game like this. Sam Howell and any of that. Everybody individually is a playable piece, I suppose, but
people like Sam. Was I crazy? Like, I'm like, I was shocked at how many people were playing Sam Howell last week. And I'm like, what? I didn't play him at all.
I thought it was a cute GPP sneak. I talked about this on all my shows. I thought it was a cute GPP sneaky play when I did a video 4 weeks before the season started talking about a way too early first look. Then as we got to 2 weeks and the week of, he became this like darling. At one point I saw him projected as one of the higher owned quarterbacks. And I'm like, I'm playing Sam Howell at high ownership. This was supposed to be a under 1% play that you're going to be sneaky about. You have to understand, if it's not sneaky anymore, don't play it. Once the field gets on something, or all, like, no offense, but the generic touts out there that people go to generic sites for, and I'm not going to say who they are, but you guys know who they are and who that is. Once those guys start talking up a player, it's kind of like, all right, now get off.
Like, how many, you did a bunch of work over the summer with Burns, and Burns has the book, and did a lot of research as far as, Millie Makers and whatnot. I mean, how often is it a quarterback like that that finds its, that sneaky quarterback? And how much more often? Once I forget what his average was. What was the average on quarterbacks? It was like in the high 6,000, mid 6,000, something like that.
They're normally 6K guy. When you look, we also re-backtested the whole year. I think there was one week where it like wound up Andy Dalton.
Right. That was a crazy week. Right.
Yeah. There's like a week like that most year. People remember the outlier. Somebody, let me give you an example of people remembering the outlier. When I was shitting on Lamar Jackson as a play last week, right? And I took heat. I take heat in the comment section.
Hold on. Let me finish what you're gonna say, because I guarantee. Oh wait, is this when people brought up the Miami game from?
Yes.
everyone was talking about the Miami game. They're like, oh, yeah, but he did it against Miami. I knew exactly where he was going.
Dude, what year was that? What are you talking about? If the fact that you're remembering something from 4 years ago or 3 years ago?
Well, you're right, because if it burns you because people didn't play it because they didn't expect it then, it will be cemented in your brain.
It's like amazing. Your memory only remembers the negative. You don't remember the 50 other games that he played since then where their team was massive favorites and he did shit. The only one you remember,
he went to Miami.
And I was like, dude, that's what I get in the comments of these videos. And I'm like, you know, I love this. Listen, and by the way, I appreciate your comments and I want those. Please put them in there. And if you need to shit on my takes, or especially John's takes, not mine, shit on them in the comment section below. That's all good. But and I love it and I'll respond to them. But I just think it's funny how we remember the negative and not the positive. It's just like how our crazy brains work. And I just think it's fascinating. We remember that one time, but that's the exception. Now, what we did notice is these shitty quarterbacks do not end up in the nuts lineup. It's that simple. I don't think it was a shitty play. Like, there was a Gardner Minshew week last year where he was the nuts quarterback. But again, that was a higher total game, and there were some other reasons why you wanted to play that game, right? I was all over Gardner Minshew that week, so it wasn't like some obscure, crazy situation. So every now and again, you do get like a cheap quarterback, and it's not so much and also, we had multiple games where Danny Jones was in the nuts last year in the 5K range. So I don't want to say that, but when you're talking about a 40-point total, that's the issue. These are not high-end games. So there were no situations where a quarterback from a 40-point total game winds up just randomly finding his way into the Million Maker winner. That was not happening, at least in the last couple of years. So not to say it can happen. Past performance is not indicative of future results, but it didn't happen. So that's what to avoid. If it's a 45-pointer and one of the guys in the game is kind of shit, it's okay. You can still play it because it's got a high total. But it's funny that you knew what my trolls were saying.
I knew where it was going because I heard it all week, and I heard the same exact thing. I knew exactly where you were going with it because, and it was in my head. That game's in my head too because it was such an outlier. That's why it's in your head. It's an outlier. Think about that. You know, there's a reason you remember plane crashes because thank God they don't really happen all that long.
Yeah. Right?
But it's in your head.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I have a lot of situations like that, like where I think, well, I remember that one time when this guy was a Q tag and he went out, and I remember Mike Evans and he wasn't supposed to play and he caught 3 touchdowns on Monday Night Football. Of course, I remember that, even though it was 5 years ago. But more often than not, when the guy has the Q tag and he's kind of limping around, you know, if you didn't play, you don't remember the 40 times when we didn't play that guy and he didn't do anything because you're like, yeah, of course I didn't play him. So we only remember the exceptions.
FOMO.
So
that's an important thing to think about. FOMO?
Fear of missing out. A little FOMO.
That's what it is.
Or a little FUFO. Fuck around and find out. That's even more important. By the way, one of the greatest Twitter follows I've ever found is a video channel called Fuck Around and Find Out. And it's just videos where people get fuck around. And I'm doing research the other day and I lost an hour and a half on that scroll. I was just like, yep, you fucked around. He found out. And it's like, a lot of that. Anyway, that's going to do it for the game plan NFL week 2. John, thanks for being with me. Remember, if you want to check out the Sharp app, everything they have to offer, we have to offer, the Proptimizer, the projection model, John's picks, the community, the Discord, the Sharp report, all of those great things, 20% off with promo code DFSA20. If you want to get into DFS Army, sign up and have our VIP or NFL only, whatever it is you want to do, optimizer, projections, community, ownerships, tools galore, tools coming out the ass. Wins nonstop. We took down DFS Army, took down the Thursday night showdown. They took down the Sunday night showdown, and we crushed the Monday night showdown. Did not take the main slate. That's coming next week. So you want to get signed up now. Promo code GEEK gets you 10% off your VIP or NFL membership at DFS Army. And we want to thank the sponsor of today's video, Mojo Fantasy. Again, you want to bet props and play on a real sports book, stock market, you can get in, out, watch the game, have in-game action with minimal risk. This is a double up, $5, John, $10, $20. It's like a tournament, like DFS, but you get to basically play the sportsbook all weekend. Go get signed up at Mojo Fantasy. Download their app off the App Store. Promo code DFS Army gets you a deposit match over there. We will see you guys next time. Good luck, everyone.